families, when Jesus said to his followers, greater work you shall do. Many people think he was talking about miracles, but I don't believe that he was talking about that at all, because nobody can do greater miracles. He raised the dead after 4 days in the grave. But when he speaks about the greater works you would do, it would be through things like this. We're able to share the gospel all over the world. Jesus was in his human form, was just one man, and he traveled. But now with the Holy Spirit in all of us, we can now take this message all over the world. And in that sense, a greater work we are doing. But this is your first time joining us again. Thank you for joining us. If you don't know me, my name is KP, and I greet you in the name of God the Father, Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior, and the person of the Holy Spirit. Don't see any new faces, but on behalf of myself and the elders here at Gateway, welcome, welcome, welcome. Want to go ahead and get right to the word. We got a little ways to go here, but so I want to dive right in. I want you to think about it. Last week, the last couple of weeks, we were in 1 Peter, and we looked at the importance of being ready to testify, which we noted that we are always to be ready to make a defense, right? Peter instructed the Jewish believers and us that when people ask us about our faith in Jesus, we are to be ready to give this reasoned, this thoughtful, this careful explanation why we believe what we believe. But I want to say today, we shouldn't just wait for people to ask us about the faith that we have, but as ambassadors for Christ, remember we talked about that early in the year, we should be intentional when it comes to sharing our faith for what we talked also about earlier this year, for the gospel's sake. And I believe there is no easier time of the year to do this than the Christmas season, amen? Notice, I didn't say that there's no better time, because we need to recognize every time, any time is a good time, but I believe it may be easier to do that during the Christmas season, because the birth of Christ is discussed so much. It's even considered in our songs as the most wonderful time of the year. Now, I know some people celebrate Christmas and other people don't, even Christians. Some Christians don't even celebrate Christmas because of all the things that go on that can possibly distract or take away from the focus of Jesus Christ and who he is. Then you have those people who argue about whether Jesus Christ was truly born in December, on December the 25th, all of those things. But personally, I'm actually glad that so much of the world is focused at this time on the birth of Jesus Christ, because I love the opportunity that it affords us. I love it. But we want to be sure that we are clear on what makes this so important, and we want to be biblical about it as well. Now, the Bible doesn't give us a specific date on when Jesus Christ was born. It doesn't give us this specific date, and I don't believe that's what's so important to know what the date was. What is important is that the Son of God was born. He was born at Bethlehem about 2,000 years ago, and he was born to be the Savior and the King. Amen? So the Son of God, he stepped down from heaven. And how did he do it? He was born into the human race. The only begotten Son of God, uniquely fully human and fully divine. Now, it's hard for our minds to quite comprehend all of that. And so it is with many things when it comes to God. That's why he's God, right? But what we celebrate as Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ, I believe it can be described as God's shout to the world, the Savior is here. And so what I want to do today is look at the book of Hebrews with you today. Today we're going to look at the first chapter in just the first three verses. So turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 1, and let's look at those first three verses together. I'll be reading from the NIV version here. For those who control in the AV, I want to read verse 1 in the first part of verse 2 together. So you'll click there and then we'll get back to 1. But I want to read verse 1 in its entirety in the first. We're going to read all three of these verses, but when we come back, I'll read those that together. So let me read them all the way through, though. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in the last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty in heaven. And from these three short verses today, I titled the text, The Importance of the Son. Because that's what I want to speak about today. Regardless of all the debates, regardless of whether you agree with the date he was born, or whether you argue about the commercialization of Christmas time, the importance of the Son. Let me pray one more time. Father, thank you for this appointed time, this appointed hour, God, to speak into the lives of your people. We are humbled, God. I pray now, God, that you would use me to speak into their lives, Father. Help us, remind us, God, the importance of the Son. I pray that you're glorified by the teaching today. In Jesus' name, amen. The importance of the Son. You know what I love about Hebrews is that out of all the things that you and I have ever received, not just from our family and friends, but out of all the things that we've ever received from God, Jesus is better than everything else. Oh, I see y'all sleeping here today. The book of Hebrews is about God's Son. It's about God's Son. And the primary focus of this book is about him, the whole book. So the book of Hebrews, what we're about to look at, it opens up elaborating on the greatness, if you will, of the Son of God. Some of your translations has as the heading of this particular chapter, the supremacy of God's Son. And so it speaks about his importance, and that's why I named it the message today, The Importance of the Son. And I just want to walk through these opening three verses here with you. And there are seven facts stated about the Son of God, particularly they are found in verses 2 and 3, that I want to show you that speaks of his greatness, the superiority of the person and of the work of Christ. Thus, the importance of the Son. So now, the book of Hebrews, it was written to Jewish Christians. They were in danger of falling away from their faith. And so this author, who doesn't give his name specifically, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes these believers to encourage them to respond to the persecution that they were facing with a renewed commitment to God, because God has always been speaking to them. But now we're getting ready to see he has spoken to them in an even greater way, and that is through his Son. So verse 1 begins, and here's where I want to read verse 1 and the first part of 2 together. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways. Look at the first part of 2 here. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And go back to verse 1. And the reason I wanted to read that together so that you can see there's a contrast here that the writer is making between how God spoke in what we call the Old Testament versus how he has spoken now in what we call the New Testament. Now, to be clear, anytime God speaks, it's very important. But he's noting the way that God has done it now is differently. So he says here, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through prophets at many times and in various ways. And much of that record is recorded for us in what we call the Old Testament. But what the writer is insinuating here is, though, that pales in comparison. That pales in comparison, or it doesn't compare in significance to the impact and the importance, that is, of how God has spoken in the last days. In verse 2, go to verse 2, he says, it doesn't compare, it doesn't pale in comparison, because in the last days he has spoken to us by his Son. Now, that's not to say that anything was wrong with the prior revelation, what we have in the Old Testament. All of that is true. All of it is a revelation from God. It talks about his purposes. It talks about his plans. But with the coming of the Son of God, the importance of the Son of God is this, that there was a fullness, there was a clarity, if you will, in what has been revealed that had never been experienced before. In the past, God used, he used prophets, he used ordinary men, but now, he says, in the last days, you literally, and this is where we're going, you literally have God walking this earth in a human body. The importance of the Son. And so now he's going to go into seven facts about the Son of God and why he's so important. He says, look now, it's very significant in what God has done. He used ordinary men, but now he has come fully God in a human body. So not only do we learn that God has spoken by his Son, the first thing he says, one of the first facts about his Son, he says, whom he has appointed heir of all things. So this child born at Bethlehem is one in the eternal plan of God now, who did not begin his existence in Bethlehem, because the prophet Micah says this about him. The one who's born at Bethlehem, he dwelt in eternity. So now this one who is born at Bethlehem, it says, the scripture says, the fact about him, what makes him so important is he is the heir of all things. And that's where the Bible ends, you guys. When you go and you read Revelations and you start at 19 and you go to 22, you'll see that Jesus returns in all of his power and all of his glory. He puts an end to his enemies and he sets up his kingdom. He is the heir of all things. That's how it all ends. That's why the Son is so important. The importance of the Son. He is the heir of all things. And these two kind of go together. And second thing here, it says, and through him, and through whom, rather, also he made the universe. How fitting is it? The one whom all things were made, the whole universe was created, is also the heir of all things. He's the heir of all things that he created. How fitting is that? I need you to understand, that's why we have the Apostle John when he says in verse 1, look now, he says, this Son, the importance of the Son is everything. He is the heir of all things, and he made everything. Through whom? Talking about God used Jesus to make everything, everything in the universe. Now, the original language says he made everything in all ages. So it's not just talking about the cosmos in its totality. Not only that, he's talking about in all ages, meaning the periods of time. Like we say, we live in this period of time of history. They lived in that period of time. Jesus made everything in between, all the ages and everything in between. The Apostle John says it this way, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And what does it go on to say? And by him all things were made. There is nothing made. Just in case you wonder, all things? He gives the negative of it. There is nothing made that wasn't made through him. So the importance of the Son is this. Not only is he the heir of all things, not only is he the heir of all things, but he created all things, through whom also he made the universe. And I believe we need to understand that this speaks about why we shouldn't get so caught up in all the things that are going on today and miss the significance or the importance of what the Son does. As a matter of fact, make the note of Colossians 1. For those who are out there in social media land, just make the note of John, the Gospel of John chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1. Most of my scripture references comes from those two things. But here's what Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 says in the context referring to Christ. For by him, referring to Christ, all things were created. Get this now. Both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. And so thus we see why he the heir of all things. And the reason I'm going to point out all of these things so that you and I can see over and over and over the repetition that God gives to why the Son is so important. The baby born in Bethlehem got all the songs about him, the little child, and it's all true. He was born in a stable, but he's going to grow up. And he is the one who created all things, though. And he will inherit all things. Look at verse 3. Verse 3. The Son is the radiance. So this is the third thing. So the first thing was what? What's the first thing? He's the heir of all things. The second thing about the importance of the Son, he created all things. The third thing about the Son, and this is where I really want to get to the meat of why we celebrate, whether the date is the 25th or not. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Those are 3 and 4, but they should go together. He is the radiance of God's glory. Again, that goes back to John chapter 1, when John not only says, in the beginning was the Word was God, but the Word was God. And you go down to the 14th verse, and it says, what? The Word became flesh and made his dwelling, his tabernacle among us. He is the very radiance of God's glory. And not only that, he says he is the only begotten. And most of us have not read this particular translation. The true preferable translation in verse 18 says this: no one has seen God at any time. Gospel of John chapter 1. No one has seen God at any time except the only begotten God. Now we read it, but the only begotten Son, but the original translation says except the only begotten God. That's a stronger manuscript there. So the Son, the importance of the Son is this: not only is he the heir of all things, he created all things. He is the radiance of God's glory. And that's why on that mountaintop with Peter, James, and John, he transfigured before them, and it says his face shone like the sun. He is the very radiance of God's glory. Philip came and said, show us the Father. And Jesus said, what are you talking about, Philip? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am the exact representation of his being. And it is pointing to the stamp or imprint. Jesus is the very imprint of the Father. When you see the Son, the importance of the Son is he is the exact representation of the essence and being and character of his Father. He is a duplicate, if you will. Now I was trying to think of my analogy or my example won't be the best, but hopefully you'll be able to grasp what I'm saying here. I want you to think about this. If in our day and time, if you're getting a letter sent to you, that's what it was like in the Old Testament. Imagine your letter coming to your house, you being mailed to you from, let's just say, the President of the United States. But it would be totally different if the President shows up at your door in person. That's the picture you're supposed to be having now. Through the prophets, God was sending out letters. He was sending out personal letters to us. But now through the Son, he has personally shown up. The heir of all things, the one who created all things, the one who is the radiance and the exact representation of his Father, he is now here. And not only is that, he is sustaining all things by his powerful word, meaning he is carrying it alone. And what you and I need to understand about that is, no matter what's going on in your personal life, no matter what's going on in this world, all of the things that we consider tragedies, devastations, coronavirus, all of that, he is carrying all things by his powerful word. Nothing is happening outside of his plans or his purposes. This is the importance of the Son. You want to know what God is like? Go and look at the life of Jesus. You read the Old Testament and everybody comes to the conclusion like, oh, he's this God of wrath and he's so mean and so angry. Jesus says, cast your burdens on me. Jesus said, I care for you. You want to know what the nature and God, character of God is like? Where are your accusers, woman? Neither do I. This is the radiance of God's glory and exact representation of his nature, his character, his being. This is the importance of the Son. Matter of fact, Colossians 1 says it this way, referring to Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. The same idea, same picture, same image here. He is what we call the photographic image of the invisible God. He never ceased to be human, and he never ceased to be God. He is the exact representation of his Father. Why is the Son so important? Why do we celebrate this day or this month in that particular date so much? Because we're talking about the heir of all things, the one who created all things, the one who is the radiance of his Father's glory. He is the exact representation of his Father. And not only that, he is carrying everything. He is sustaining all things by his powerful word. And you got to really note here when it talks about sustaining here, because we're starting to lose our minds as if things are just going to get, oh, things are getting too far out of hand. Things are never too far out of hand. He is sustaining all things, all things. All means all, right? All things by his powerful word. Why the Son is so important? The Son, after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. After he had provided purifications for sins, I like the way Romans chapter 5 says it this way. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That's what it means. He provided the purification for sins. Christ died for our sins. And God demonstrates his own love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And now we have been justified by his blood. How much more should we be saved from God's wrath through him? Why the Son is so important? He provided the purifications for sin. And we're going to see this later on in the month. This is the whole point as we will look at the birth of Jesus, but this is the whole point of why he came. To provide the purification for sins, to do what you and I could not do for ourselves. This is why. This is why to the unbeliever, it's not about just exchanging presents. It's not about just giving our children what they want. This is why. Because this baby that came, this baby provided purification for my sins. And not only did he provide purification for my sins, he provided purification for the sins of the world. That whosoever believes in him, they shall be forgiven of their sins. The importance of the Son. And I want to put this together for you. Look at what God is doing now. The world is watching, KP. Mind your life. Mind your lifestyle. Mind how you live. Live worthy, KP, of the calling that you've been called. And be ready to testify. Be ready to give an answer when people ask you. And as an ambassador, KP, don't just be ready. Go out there and tell the world, KP, about the importance of the Son. We're not just talking about some ordinary baby. Now, as a father of six, I got excited about all of my children. But there is something about this baby. This baby is the heir of all things. This baby existed even before Bethlehem. He existed in eternity past. This baby created all things. This baby is the exact representation of God the Father. This baby grew up to be the exact representation. Let me say it that way. This baby sustains the whole world in his hands. And now we always picture that palm and we see the world, and that's a pretty accurate picture. But if you really want to grasp it, it's not just holding that world in his hand. He is intimately involved in every single thing that's going on inside that globe. In your life and in my life. And the most important thing that he's ever done, he provided the purification for your sins. We're getting ready to celebrate or commemorate, if you will, the death and resurrection of Jesus. And what does the scripture say? This same Hebrew writer, the blood of bulls and goats couldn't pay for your sins. It couldn't wash away your sins. But the importance of the Son provided purification for your sins. And that's why, think about it, even with all the controversy, that's why this baby's birth is talked about so much. This is the importance of the Son. And not only did he provide the purification for our sins, the scripture says, and he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And here it speaks about two things here. Him sitting down is to represent that it is finished. It is done. The baby came and grew and did what his purpose was, to provide purifications for your sins. And now he sits down, not just anywhere, but at the right hand, which denotes authority and power. At the right hand of the majesty, talking about the Father in heaven. Because all things now, all power is given unto him. It is appointed unto him to be the head of all things now. The Father and the Son working together harmoniously. This is the importance of the Son. The Hebrew writer wanted to tell these believing Jews who are in danger of falling away from their faith, and while we may not necessarily be in danger of falling away from faith because of persecution, but getting caught up in all this worldly stuff, though, that comes along with that's trying to infiltrate, we might be in danger in that sense. And today God says, the importance of my Son is this. He's the one that matters. It's about him. It is fitting that because he created all things, he should be the heir of all things. And when he sits down, or when he sat down, rather, not sit, when he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, it is finished. Everything that he has purposed, now it's just going to be played out. And guess what we learn? He is sustaining all of that in his hands. The importance of the Son. I want to end this way today. I want to quote a question I believe to be a legitimate question from a guy by the name of David McLemore. In talking about this is the most wonderful time of the year, he asked this question. What's so wonderful about it if Jesus has become the silent reason for the season? See, we shout it and we say, Jesus is the reason for the season. But his point is, or his question rather, he's saying, what's so important if he's become the silent reason? If you're just saying it in words only, and yeah, you might buy a couple of gifts, but if you ain't sharing the message, if you're not telling people about the purification of your sins, then he says, why is it the most wonderful time of the year? Rather than it being the silent reason for the season, it's supposed to be the explicit joy of the world. And that's why we sing joy to the world, right? The Lord is come. Now, we sing it during Christmas time, but that actually is pointing to the end, that it's finished. But we sing it during Christmas time. But the most wonderful thing to ever happen was God sending that baby into this world to live and die and to rise again. That's the importance of the Son. And now I'm going to do something that we learned when we were little children. Now I'm going to tell you how they taught us that song, what? Go tell the world. Go tell it on the mountain. Over the hills and everywhere, right? That what? Jesus Christ is born. That's the importance of the Son. The heir of all things, who created all things, the one who is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation, the imprint. When you see Jesus, you see God. He is fully human, fully God. He is God in the flesh. He came, the one who sustains all things, the one who holds the entire world in his hand. He came to die for your sins. That's the greatest gift that has ever been given. And that's what we believers celebrate during this time of year. And we are so excited and so encouraged to know that the work is finished. It's a done deal. He sat down at the right hand of his Father with all power in his hand. Today, I just wanted to remind you about the importance of the Son. Go out, have fun. My family already buying Christmas gifts. They already got some stuff already. All of that stuff is wonderful and great. But don't forget the importance of the Son. And that's why what Elaine shared and Lottie Moon, and that's why our focus has always got to be about Him. God. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for our time together today, God. Thank you for reminding us this day, God. Shouldn't have to, but thank you for reminding us about the Son. I just thank you for that your Son came into this sin-cursed world, God. That even though he was rejected by his own creation and by his own people, God, none of that frustrated the Son's plan. I like what young Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. And that he still came and he became the Savior of the world. Regardless of whether people accept it or not, it doesn't change the fact, God, that it is done. He now has risen from the dead, and he sits at your right hand of majesty, God. And so I thank you today, God, that as this month progresses, that everybody is thinking about the Son. And I pray that we'll celebrate his birth and remember in a special way that he is the Savior and King, and that he offers salvation to everyone whosoever believes. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The moment we're getting ready to prepare. If you're at home, you go ahead and get ready. If it's in your heart to observe communion today, here at Gateway, we practice an open communion. That means anybody can take it if you're so led to do so. But I do throw this warning and caution at you. You go back and you read Corinthians, and that's what we are in our Bible study. So I've been in it a lot. You go back and you read Corinthians. There's a strong warning that's there. People get sick. People even pass away from doing it unworthy. Now, I don't say that to scare anybody or anything of that, but we got to think about the importance of the Son and what he did and the sacrifice that he made. And it's as simple as this. If you are a Christian and you know that there's something not right in your relationship between you and God, maybe there's known sin, there's something you're doing you know you ain't got no business doing, repent. It's just have a change of mind and change of heart right now. God, I know it's wrong. I'm sorry. And partake. And if you're not willing to let it go, I'd rather you let the cup pass from you. Because again, there's a strong warning that's there. But this time, we're going to give you an opportunity before we observe communion. The word of God has spoken to you in any shape, form, or fashion. Think about it. Look at it, how we began the year and what it's culminating to now. Everything seems to be centered around reminding us, getting this, at least Gateway. I hope all of you who are out there now, that look, we got to bring our focus to being about the main thing. And that is being the ambassadors of Christ that we've been called to. And we got to understand that speaks to how we got to be careful about how we live. And we got to know what we're supposed to be saying. I'm going to share this and I'm going to let you come. This was my confirmation for last week and this week. I saw a video where a Muslim questioned a Christian. on live TV, and that Muslim embarrassed that Christian on live TV because the Christian could not answer his question. I'm talking about basic questions. He could not answer them. Even to the point, he got to the point where, you know, I'll talk to you in private about it. He had an opportunity in front of the world to tell the world why he believes what he believes. And because he couldn't answer it, his escape was, let's talk about it in private. We need to know the importance of the sun and being able to testify to that importance. Amen. I want you to stand on your feet for me. You can come to my left, your right, if you want to speak to the Lord alone. Ask him to encourage you, strengthen you, give you boldness, give you a zeal for his word. Or you can come to my right, your left, and you can kneel, and somebody who's trained as an encourager come alongside you and pray with you, or even for you if you like. I can't wait to see what the next 2 weeks kind of, I don't know exactly how it's going to go, but even in the very beginning of this month, as everybody's focus turns, the attention turns to the holiday, Christmas holiday, God tells me, KP, remember the importance of the sun. Why don't you come?
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Amen, amen. You may be seated. If you would, and if you're home, if you would go ahead and you would open up. Trusting that everybody's already prepared, you out there in social media land. Remember, again, I already quoted it from the Hebrew writer, the same book that we looked at today. It wasn't the blood of bulls and goats. We learned today that the importance of the son was it was what he did that paid for our sins. And so we come now to commemorate that, not only the birth, death and resurrection, but even understanding the importance of what it means, though. Do you need help? You good? Okay. All right. For I received from the Lord, this is the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. They were guilty. They were guilty of not understanding the importance of the son. They would come into church and get ready to commemorate, and they would eat before one another. Someone would come to get drunk, just not even thinking about the importance of what Jesus Christ did. And so Paul had to write them and remind them. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke and said, 'This is my body, the importance of the Son, which is for you. You do this in remembrance of me.' Father, we ask that you bless this bread, Father. Thank you for the sacrifice of your son, the shedding of his blood, God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Partake. We don't do this just to do it. We think about the importance of the Son. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood," talking about those sins being forgiven. "Do this, and whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." Father, bless this cup in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys again so much for allowing me this opportunity to stand before you guys and speak. Allow God to use me to speak into your lives. I hope you really, really think about it and go back and meditate on the seven things that we talked about today. Heir, created all things. Exact representation of God. He is the glory of God. He's the resemblance of the glory of God. He sustains all things, paid for our sins. It's done. He sits at the right hand of the Father now. That's what makes this the most wonderful time of the year, because it makes us think about all of that. Stan, let me pray for us, and I'm going to let you guys enjoy the rest of your day. Before I forget, because I usually do on first Sundays, after I pray, on first Sundays we have what we call benevolent offering. For those who wish to give to benevolent offering, that's the offering that we give those who are less fortunate than we are. And so if you're so led during this time of year, Elaine said it, I think, quite well, that there are those who are more less fortunate than we are. And especially this year, we don't know how the year has impacted those, because it was quite a surprise what all took place this year. So if you would, and if it's in your heart, Brother Dennis is back there, and he'll be taking up that benevolent offering. Our hearts and minds are clear. Father, thank you. I thank you, God, that you would remind us again. God, we are so blessed that you would humble yourself, the Creator, would humble himself. David said it best, "Who are we that you're so mindful of us, God, that you would step down from your throne of glory and to what you created?" I am amazed, Father. It blows my mind. But I am so encouraged right now, God. The same God that created all things, the same God that brought all of us into living, even though sin brought devastation, that same God can now speak life and make us born again. Father, I pray as these people leave this place, that your word not only saturate their heart, but it grips it to the point, God, that they yield in submission to your will for their lives. As we leave this place, may your grace and your favor abide upon your people as we contemplate and remember the importance of your Son. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you guys.